We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Experience, presented by DraftKings 2022 BMW Championship, DraftKings picks, pivot plays, ownership, weather, the final bets, and of course, the live chat. Now, if you're not watching this live as it's happening and you ask questions after, not going to get answered. You got to be in the live chat. You also need to be subbed to Mayo Media Network in order to ask your questions. So please go do that right now. And it's time to fill up the week one DraftKings Listeners League for NFL. There's no more golf listeners leagues. I mean, I ended it last week when I won the event, but that was already planned out. So week one, I think there's already 1,500 spots gone in it already. So that's going to fill rather quickly. There is $75,000 of rake-free guaranteed money in the prize pool. So it's like, you know, a major week for the Listeners League, but it's week one. So that's down in the description. Go do that right now. Smash a like to the episode while you're here. Tyler Tambellini of RunPureSports.com. is in studio with me. You won a lot of money this week.
I did. Another, what's the thing we always say? I leave the studio for a week, come back a little bit richer. So it worked again. I really do want to break that though before this season runs out. And I would love, someone said it yesterday, okay, Tambo's back, give us another five figs to us. I'd like to win the seven figures this week in the Mega on DraftKings and prove this theory wrong. So it's a no cut, 68 people, it should be fun.
This is the last, I don't like next week. For right. DraftKings. I don't think we're going to do a show next week, to be perfectly honest with you, because I don't feel like playing. It's not that I will play like a few DraftKings lineups, but the staggered start, is this the one where they do captain's mode? They should.
I actually honestly don't even remember. I remember there's a decent edge in it last year, like at least from what the field does to how it projects and stuff like that, but I don't think it's show-worthy, and it's just going to be a matter of taking some shots, like you said, and getting your action in that way.
Yeah, just take the guy that no one owns, and hopefully they have a good week.
Yeah, different construction. I'll talk about even for this week, it's the same sort of thing, because, well, ownership's not congested. It's going to be really spread out, I think, for the most part, just when we get talking to it. Like, everyone has their guy. Lots of guys you could make cases for last week. I still think this is a good week, and it's going to depend what I always say, not who you play, but how you play them. So
and last week was the pure balance strategy.
Yeah,
if you went pure balance, the lineup that I ended up winning with was like a modified Stars and Scrubs. It was four balance, two guys in the sixes.
Yeah,
and even this week with no cut, you can probably get away with that too.
That's a good way to go this week. I think again last week that was the way too. I had Lucas Glover in there that ended up getting the job done for me down the stretch. Just an incredible run from him. So that was pretty awesome. Baroff sold me on him last week on the Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast. We got on him and he ended up bringing me to the promised land in a lot of places. Could have been a lot better, but I'll take it for sure.
Yeah, that was like me. If Mullinix just didn't bogey one of the final two holes, just made par on one of those, Pat wins a lot more money last
The worst week. Is going back and figuring it out because there's so many. Mine was like Hatton missed a six-footer for a birdie and a streak. And then right after that, Finau could not get up and down on 18 for a bogey-free round. So like all those points was worth about another 70K. I think it was 100K for second. So
well, the worst was because I had Sungjae in those lineups. And I was like, oh, if Sungjae does two putts on 18, I'm going to get the all below 70 bonuses. Not realizing he shot 70 in round one. And then Mullinix lost his with the 70 in the final round. I was like, oh, God, man. Like, what are we doing here? This is awful.
Those bonuses matter, man. 5 points.
They're those huge. 5 points were, like, especially when you're near the top, those 5 points are And no one really had Sungjae at the top, which was weird. He and Putnam, weirdly enough, were the two guys that I really needed to do well because, you know, everyone had Zalatoris. I had Finau. Everyone kind of had Finau. Mullenix, of the guys at the top, was the popular 6K guy. Yeah. Well, like the common 6K guy. Putnam was, it was probably like Glover for you. Like no one had Glover.
Yeah, nobody had him up there. Mullenix was popular up there, so I was trying to fade and fend him off. No one really had Straka. Again, at the end they did, like creeping up because he was in the playoff. That mattered to some of those lineups in the big tournament, but overall he wasn't like heavily owned or anything for the week, obviously, coming off the stretch of miscuts.
But you were there.
You got
to sweat it live. I don't know. I couldn't imagine. I want you to walk me through what it's like to sweat that live for that amount of money. I don't know how you do this every week. I was in like panic mode for 8 fucking hours on Sunday, just being like, because at one point I was winning like $60,000. I was like, can I hold this? I was like trying to figure out all the different ones. And I had the most players remaining of anyone. And then my guys just, everyone kind of caught up to me because all my guys got on the course at the same time. But I don't know if I could hurt. I don't know if I could handle that every week.
Excuse me. Yeah, I'm still getting my voice back, as you can tell there. But I just would say that it was the most incredible thing ever. I talked about it all season. I didn't like the bet on him. I bet him huge for the last. He was my only bet last week. So much conviction in the call. Was on it for a couple weeks, waiting on it, just teasing it out and saying that's what it's going to be. Said it on Twitter everywhere, going into it right away. Posted about it all week. Kept saying it even when I was there. I went and watched him on the practice. I was like, just made 10 of those putts. He's going to make it. He's going to win tomorrow. Like, it's just going to be destiny. Sure enough, you wake up, Cam Smith penalty. Like, just everything kept going his way. And the funniest part down the stretch, so getting to the actual sweat, was, you know, I'm starting to see when he's on hole 12, 13 that I've got a good sweat on DraftKings going now because Glover is making the run and I'm starting to fade some of these guys. Spahn is falling back. Merritt's falling back. Certain guys that I maybe didn't need in certain places. And so when he gets to 16 and that just incredible break happens for him and it pops out into the fairway, people are already tagging me on Twitter. Like, no, I'm like, no, we're up in the booth on the green. But they're thinking, did you throw that back in play or whatever? And so.
Did you?
I did not.
Oh, you should have. If it didn't work out that way, you should have just went over.
Well, like, it was just the best break.
Get yourself ejected. It's worth it.
I didn't do this, but I was thinking through my head, here's where people would do it when we got to 18 later on with Straka needing that putt. But he made it, so I didn't have to worry about that. So I leave the thing when he doesn't make the eagle putt, which I thought he had a good shot at. It was the putt that guys had made all day from right there for birdie usually. But I hopped out. I said, okay, now I got to go tail this and go follow it because, you know, I've got a shot here. And he didn't make that, which I thought would have shut the door. Anyway, long story short, I leave the pack. I just start running on my own, chasing it up. Other guys eventually caught up. But, you know, on 18 was incredible. Got to see it all happen. When he was outside of Straka, and you just know if he misses, not only does he miss, but Straka is that close and has the line. That's when I got the most nervous. And I honestly felt like probably how's that, like the disappointment of his whole season in those other losses. It was just to me, like, there's no way out here. Like, I want this guy now. I was cheering for him just so hard beyond the bet. So I was like, I don't want more heartbreak for old Willie Z. So incredible finish, getting to the playoff hole on 11, the third one. I was like creeping down. I arrived right after the ball clicked that 7 times. And I was like, Zal's ball? And everyone was like, yeah. I was like, ugh. Man, I was like, please get wet. And I like crept down between these kids. I was like shoving people out of the way, get down by the camera. And I'm right there looking at him. And then that's when Straka hit it in the water. I was there for that live. So that was incredible. So happy about that. And then I had to watch the whole Zal decision play out. And so good that he took it back. We couldn't tell it was his block.
Yeah, well, that's what you said. Because on TV, it was very clear. Like, you can't hit. Like, if you hit this, it's probably going to go into the water.
Yeah, the pitchers after when you saw it, I was like, there's literally no way you can take that shot. I still thought like, he's so dialed. Like, just go back and let's figure it out. Because Straka's in the bunker. Like, there's a lot of things we can come up with here. But a lot of the people around me, because of the angle, and I understand why, were thinking that it was the club he could get behind it. You couldn't see the wedge in between that and the grass there. So, in the end, a great decision. Popping it there, making that putt, being there live for it. I was yelling at him the whole time, like I'm his coach or something. Like, dude, your destiny, Will. It's your destiny. And I was like, remember me? I was doing the Feinberg. I was like, I told you on Saturday when you were walking off the 16th tee, it was going to be your destiny. And he gets that lucky break on 16. He gets the Cam Smith penalty to keep another chaser off his back. All the things went his way. And I'm so glad he finally got the job done. Not just for financial reasons, but overall, it was awesome to see him get the W.
Yeah, for all of us Zalatoris bettors who, I mean, I'm so happy he hit it at 30-1, not 12-1, 2 months from now at some sort of swing season
or
event.
Like last week when it was 14 or 18.
Yeah.
18
like,
to 1, I can't remember.
Like, not only did we all get whole on Zalatoris, we're actually up on Zalatoris now. It's fantastic news, but you have to be the most profitable Zalatoris bettor ever. You bet him once, he wins.
The best conviction of all time, right? And to get on the right spot and to be there. And mainly, we thought the course set up well and better for him, of course. We knew the number would be bigger. All those things made up when we talked about it a couple weeks ago. But the other sense of it was just that it was kind of a joke where it's like, I'm going to be there. Of course, this dude's going to get the W when I'm standing there live watching it. That's just the way things go. And yeah, ran pure, if you will. It was a good finish and a great week overall. I was happy with it.
What was the crowd? It sounded like it was 99.999% cheering for Will Zalatoris, no one cheering for Straka.
100. I swear to God, like it was, and that was before the playoff. Forget in the playoff, it's 110. More people showed up to add on. You can't have a higher percentage, but I'm saying more people got there cheering for him. Before that, though, it didn't matter who was there. It's like he's just a crowd favorite almost. Everyone wanted Willie Z to get his win and get the job done because he was in the mix. And I think it's almost, I mean, he gets these comparisons now a little bit, but Spiethian in the way, not how he plays or the magic beans of like the Spieth love. It's like that. People are just there if he's even in the mix. It's almost like when Spieth first came on the scene, they'd seen some of the heartbreak, all that stuff. Things go his way early. He had a chance. I mean, if he closed all these majors, think about how even more famous or popular he would be. It was just awesome, man. Like, they're just a even bigger, you know, from not being a big fan on the win side of things. But now just to see that happen and in person, him going nuts and showing that passion, I loved it. Cam Young, by the way, another very passionate dude, of course, a college teammate, but of Willie Z, and we'll talk about him for this week. But on 16 on Friday, when he thought he was going to miss the cut, whole crowd, everything there didn't matter. He chipped from green side on the 16th green, duffed it, and he thought that was going to cost him the cut line, made a hero birdie on 18 later to make the cut on the number, dropped out just the biggest F-bomb on everybody, right? It did not care. He was so pissed. And I was like, that's the fire and passion that I want to see. Didn't help him over the weekend. Didn't help showdown lineups that I kept playing him and thinking he was going
to
get it done.
That's because when we get to him in a bit, dude couldn't make a putt all week.
Correct.
But he was all over the deep middle of the fairway and 10 feet from the pin.
If he wins this week,
he's
like
going to win.
Another like destiny situation. I bet him, of course. I'm just saying, but How often can we get this type of situation? So, yeah, but I love the passion and the fire that he showed when he thought he was going to miss the cut. So that's just another tidbit.
I haven't been to a DraftKings live final since Paul and I went to the Fantasy Baseball World Championships in Manhattan. That was a lot of fun. That wasn't obviously it wasn't at the venue. I think there was a thing at Yankee Stadium for like all the participants. They had ran like a 100K showdown contest for them all to play in and like go to a box at Yankee Stadium. Paul and I were setting up. You know, when you're there to work, you have to like do mic checks, camera shots, all that fun stuff. But the actual sweat was a lot of fun. I imagine this DraftKings event at a golf course is fucking incredible.
Oh yeah, the service top notch. The booth on 16 is, it got to be a six figure plus booth. Like it's the best. It actually the only booth around the place that had AC. So you got AC on the inside. It's hot as hell outside. It's got its own little bathroom nook that you can go down to. You can get right back onto like the third. It's just a perfect setup and spot. And then talk about pin placement and the hole to be on for every day, from making the cut, the moving day pin,
the eagles
down the stretch that are the tournament result basically riding on them. Just everything about it. So it was an incredible setup. It was a little bit of a runaway. Not quite. The guy had to sweat it a little bit down the stretch. It was like BRB _ younger guy. Didn't get to talk to him much. Congratulate him at the
younger
bar.
Guy,
at the
like, end how old would you say? 22?
I would say 24, 26,
fuck,
to be honest.
That must be nice, man.
Yeah, he said, I think he just got engaged. So, huge for him.
If I had won, it was $1 million?
It was $1 million. He gets an automatic TOC seat, which is not the semifinal one where you got to play in to have a chance at another million. He's auto in to the TOC. I think it's the final 25 after the semifinal of after this NFL season, like 70. We'll go down to 25. He's in the 25. So he's going to have a 1 in 25 shot at $1 million again in this TOC. So just an incredible day for him. He had to go out and sweat. I know he was sweating legit, like walking everywhere, coming back, like he's worried. But he ended up taking out Whistles Go Woo, which is huge. He came second. And Peter Gibbons, who came third, who had 15 seats to start the thing when he moved them all on, ended up getting 5 to the finals. So he felt pretty good. He was feeling it, and he should. It was an incredible win for him and huge money and just a great place to sweat it out and be at.
If I was 24 and won $1 million... when I was 24, I would have had such a massive drug problem. That's how that would have turned out. I wouldn't be sitting here right now if I had $1 million at 24 years old.
He didn't strike me as that. And he could have been 28. He looked younger. I'm just saying, I mean, for him, He said he's, I think he started playing like a year and a half ago. He ended up getting like a 50K win.
Did you tell him about the PME? You should tune in, pal.
Yeah, we'll get him. Hey, maybe he does. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to really talk to him much. He was sort of doing his own thing and sweating it out there. At the end of the night, DraftKings took him out to like a nice big special dinner to congratulate the winner and him being victorious. So we had some drinks at the bar and then they headed out.
That's cool. That's really awesome. How was Memphis just in general? Did you like it?
I'll be nice because I'm a nice guy. I think it was all right. I will say this.
Did you get barbecue?
I wear my heart on my sleeve. It wasn't the best place. It wasn't to me the best time in general. It just besides the event itself, it was like the two. If I was going to go somewhere, I'm not signing up to go to Memphis, Tennessee. The food to me was okay. It wasn't the best barbecue that I've even ever had. So I don't know. Like that would be what I would say about that. And we went to all the places. People said it was good. Don't get me wrong, but I was not blown away.
Let's yeah, it wasn't like, oh, I see why everyone just constantly talks about Memphis barbecue.
Yeah, I had a very good time, but it also had to do with the people, the place, everywhere that I was. So no knock on Memphis. Just wasn't. I've been to other places that I've had better times visiting and seeing stuff. Beale Street was okay. It wasn't like the craziest street that I've ever been on for a party street, things like that. So I don't know. It just wasn't. It didn't blow me away by any means.
Well, this is the final live chat of the golf season, but if you enjoy watching Tambo and myself, we're going to be doing this Friday mornings for NFL?
You tell me.
Friday mornings. I think that's the after we get like after Thursday night, we get closer to like what we know what the injuries are going to be. We can start answering people's questions. Plus, we have a special announcement between myself and Tambo about fantasy golf degenerates and fantasy football picks and bets on Mayo Media Network with me and you doing it this year.
It's going to be a good year. NFL, I can't wait. I was doing my calendar up last night and checking some stuff out. And I didn't realize how close it actually is.
I just went and cashed out my DraftKings money before I just go hog wild either this week or week one and lose it all back. I got the money out.
NFL, just so many ways to make money. Picks.
That's what you say, but so many ways to lose money for me.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just think it's better when you have more options. And again, it's obviously a tighter, when you're talking about betting spreads and totals and things like that, it's the sharpest of the sharp with all the books. But props, right? We're excited for that. Things, just a lot of different ways, I'm saying, that you can get your money in. It doesn't mean you're always going to win.
Yeah.
But a lot of different ways you can get your money. It's going to be an exciting year.
Well, one thing I'm super excited about for NFL season as it pertains to Prize Picks, code DOP to sign up, by the way. Get that match deposit. All right. Already going. So you might as well go get it right now and tune into the UFC show. We got a super good UFC card this week. Well, I don't know if it's a good card or not, but our slate on Mayo Media Network's going to be good. Cody and Paul, DOP Wednesday night. Brett Apley, DraftKings picks on Thursday. And brand new for this week, because it's a pay-per-view, my guy John Kelly is going live, 7 p.m. Eastern time. So if you on Friday evening, so after the weigh-ins, if you have questions about DraftKings, Prize Picks, bets, whatever it is, or you just want to talk some UFC with John, tune into Mayo Media Network. He's going to be live this week. And RunTheSims.com has a new Prize Picks tool for NFL this year.
Yeah.
I made so much money on DraftKings and Prize Picks in USFL because it dominated. I would expect that Justin's projections for USFL were probably top five in the world because he paid so much attention to it. I can't guarantee that for NFL because people are very good at NFL projections. But like once those Prize Picks lines get dropped, you can run the simulator on RunTheSims/Mayo for that discount, by the way. And I feel like that's going to be hopefully very profitable for me this year.
There's the optimism you need. That's the pad optimism. I'm in to go, it's like, oh, you win money, I don't win money. There's no way to make money. Then you get this confidence that I make all the money on Prize Picks. I've got Run the Sims. Put those two together, boom. Winning some more money, restack the account from there.
Well, I got a bit of extra money in my gambling account this week. I'm still not back to even for the year, but I can get there with another win this week, and that would be fine. So I've taken minimal shots at three different tours for the final picks of the week. And you can sell me on someone right now. I got in good when we were talking on the Monday show with Feinberg if Cam Smith withdrew like halfway through the show. So I had already locked in the three bets that I really wanted to have. So for the BMW, and this will all be in the newsletter this evening. You can sub to that for free down in the description and the comment section. Just get emailed to you right away. Super easy. Morikawa, 27-1. Cam Young, 33-1. Joaquin Neiman, 45-1. I went with some Euro Tour fun here.
Okay.
Thirsty Lawrence, my guy. I'm going back to the well. 30-1 over in the Czech Republic. Raza's guy, Max Kaifa, 50-1 with five places. Gavin Green, who everyone has bet this week.
Yes.
I jumped on the bandwagon.
I got something for that.
60-1 with five places. Korn Ferry. If I was betting Goddard at a PGA event at like 18-1 a month ago, I'm not going to not bet him at a Korn Ferry event at 28-1. So Goddard, I got Austin Cook at 75-1 with five places. and Satoshi Kodaira. That's a Ryan Baroff special this week. He even DM'd me about it. He's like, you got to bet Kodaira. I was like, sold. 100-1, five places. I'm going with Cam Young in the one and done. Jeff is going with Tony Finau. And get this, Cust won't say who he's picking this week. Because it's the final week of his like main pool.
Does he have a chance?
He has a chance to come back and win.
Oh, God.
So he won't tell us who it is. Because the other guys apparently could have this guy left and just dupe him.
Yeah.
If they know who he's going to pick. So he won't say. So just badger Cust on Twitter to reveal his
But he'll reveal it right after lock.
Right after lock. Yeah. But then people are going to be super pissed.
Yeah. Who could it be? I'm trying to think.
Well, last week he picked Justin Thomas on the show. But in that pool. In that pool, he had already used Justin Thomas, so he used Rory.
Does he have Scheffler left by chance?
He might. I was thinking about Scheffler. I wrote Scheffler up as a fade, betting-wise, in the Golf Digest column this week. Like, yeah, I know putters can flip at any moment, but he's been, like, historically bad on the green since essentially the U.S. Open. He's been really bad.
That's the talking point right now on him. I think that's interesting is that he's, like, the player of the year, everything, all that's on the line, I get all that, but, like, he started the season so well, you know, solid through the middle there, and now it sort of has dropped off a little bit from what the expectation. That's just golf.
Yeah, he's the number one player.
The way
in the world.
People see, he's still number one in the world. He's still, I think, number two in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Like, there's all these factors that are still going to be in his favor. The course should set up well. Everything good, you know, is fine here. So we'll talk about him for DraftKings. But going back, I got to tell you this right quick. Gavin Green is not going to win the event. So you must bet him first round leader.
Oh.
That is where people are going to forget and be like, well, of course I didn't bet him first round leader. And then he goes and he doesn't win. So make sure you get the Gavin Green first round leader bet. That's come through before in the past. It's a good one. You can get an each way certain places, all those factors. But I definitely love that one. The Kodaira, of course, Baroff sold me on that as well. So with you there, I'm trying to think about other ones. Oh, Mansell, our boy.
Oh, Johnny Mansell is playing?
Yeah, he's actually, he's like 25-1.
Is he Corn Fair? Oh, yeah, he's Richard Mansell, 25-1. Over
Johnny's uncle.
Well, this is all like the check courses. I mean, Sky and Tom did the breakdown. If people want to go watch it, it's up right now on the network. It's up on Daily Fantasy Sports Picks and Bets, the Mix audio feed, if you want to get on that. Yeah, there we go. Gavin Green, first round leader, 60-1 with five places.
That's the one.
In.
That's what I'd sell you on. In. Just because you already had him for the main, but how many times do you do that? And you're like, oh, of course, he's leading
most of
one.
The time.
A lot
like
of
most of the losers that I bet to win outright are like second in the first round.
Yeah.
So if I can get those five places, that's not so bad. I know everyone. Henny was too expensive for me. I missed out on the hell's his name, Wilco.
Niedermayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Missed out on him. Like when his price was 40, if like I looked at it, it was like 22. I was like, no, I don't want that.
I missed on those. So I was also I'm coming back from Tennessee, and that's like.
Well, can you tell people about being in Tennessee and not being able to hedge any of your money?
Well, the weirdest, so I can't get on my normal offshore book, and I can't get on the DraftKings Sportsbook is legal there, but Tennessee has these weird laws where you can only deposit a small amount. It's literally like $2,500 for the month. I was like, so what the hell? If you live here and play DFS, you better run good on your first weekend of play. That's less than I'm playing. So I was like, how do you even get money and make money here? But that was the point. So anyway, the service was horrible. Running around trying to find a book. I'm not going to ask someone else. And I usually don't hedge anyway, but I was just thinking
you could have texted me.
I had like 20,000. I'm literally shoving 18-year-olds out of the way to like fly down to the hole to get to Willie Z. There was just no thought in my mind, even knowing that I had like 20,000 plus riding on it, where I was like, I just need him to win. So I was just, like I said, it was destiny. I was trying to will it, if you will, for Willie Z to get it to the finish line. And sure enough, it worked out. And I was pumped, man. It was an incredible day.
Weather at the Wilmington Country Club. I'm using the I-95 and Marsh Road. One, there's like three of them that are right around there.
I think they all say the same thing.
Yeah, there's very max gust 10 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And it looks like there's rain overnight tonight. So the course might be a little bit softer, the rough a little bit thicker. And then even on Friday, nothing above 8 miles per hour the entire day. So guys are going to hit it pure.
They are. And guys that are there right now, just talked to some guys in the Discord this morning and stuff like that. So the rough ain't what you think it is. So I think it's like Cantlay said it yesterday. I think it was. That's, you know, it's going to be hit it out there.
Bomb and gouge?
Feels like it. Again, that's so whatever, because we do this and we say all this stuff and other guys show up. But the point is, obviously, if you can, you know, some of these holes leave a wedge in hand anyway. So it's like there is, if you see Brian Harman on the leaderboard on Sunday, it won't surprise me. He just did it last week. Wasn't that was a Bombers course. But the point is, if you're playing good golf and the greens are so big here and you end up putting well and all these factors, there is going to be guys that aren't Bombers up there. But for the most part, if you see like 8 out of the top 15 and they're higher up there and scoring the most DraftKings points, that's where you're going to want to take advantage and be able to get those guys into your lineup. So just from what I'm hearing, that's how I'm seeing it play out.
So I might throw this into, just kind of occurred to me, I don't know, I mean, I've mentioned this on the show already, and then I just never looked it up as the week went along, because, you know, I'm an absolute moron. Where's Kapalua? Now, how do you, what's the official name of Kapalua? I'm looking for it right now. It's not like TPC Kapalua. Damn it.
I don't know.
I wanted to look it up. And just look up the putting from there. Just because these greens are 8,100 square feet. Those ones are 8,800 square feet. The Plantation Course. That's exactly what it is.
I never remember that stuff.
There it is. Plantation
Course. Supposed to be a great place to go, though.
Oh, it's in Hawaii.
No, I mean,
how could it be a bad place to go?
Sorry, Hawaii's incredible. I meant like supposed to be a great tournament to attend.
So here are your leaders in strokes game putting at Kapalua over their past 12 rounds on average. Now, some guys have 4 rounds. Some guys have 12 rounds because you have to play in the Tournament of Champions in order to get there. Putnam, Poston, Herbert, Cantlay, Neiman are your top 3 or top 5. Sorry.
I like one of those.
Is it Neiman?
I do love Neiman, and I bet him. We didn't talk about that off the top. I missed the number on Young. I got 25, but because of this betting stuff, but I got Neiman. But I like Herbert for value play this week.
And guys that have been putting horribly at that course, Hovland, Matsuyama, Keegan, Glover, Steele, like the guys that you would expect to be really crappy putters. Although Hovland's kind of he's only played 8 rounds there, but either way, this is the
God, he sucks at chipping. Like, I know he says it and it's a running joke, but he was there. He was 2 times off the green side on 16. It was so bad, and you can almost just see it in his face.
He was in my lineup.
He hates it, man. He knows it's going to suck before he even hits it, and that's, like, I think his problem. But here, you know, he should hit a bunch more greens. They're huge, and then it's just the lag putting, so it's probably fine. I'm just saying I did notice that. Watching him live, he was really bad.
It's funny that I think that's the one thing that people really enjoy about, like, watching golf on TV. Is that you can go out and play yourself, right? It's not like watching the NHL and you go play beer league hockey. Like, there is literally no resemblance to either of those things. But there are certain things, like you say Vic, you know, he shortsides himself and he just walks up and you can see it on his face. Like, I can't hit this shot.
He knows.
And so much of golf is committing to be like, no, I can hit this shot. Like, once you start getting those negative thoughts, and that's relatable, I think, to anyone who plays. Like, there's like 2 holes at the course that I play. Like, I step on the tee, I'm like, I'm going to have an 8 on this hole.
See,
like,
that's what I mean.
Like, it's in my head so much, and it affects every shot that I have. It's funny that is actually translatable to pros. Yeah. That's why Dustin was always so, like, when we think about Dustin, we like to joke about Dustin, how he's a robot, but there's so much, like, when he turned the corner and became like the number one player, started winning majors, so much of it was just, it feels like he has no memory about any of this.
He just doesn't care. Yeah. He just moves on to the next shot. There's not much you can do. That is the truth. And I think that matters quite a lot. Like, that's the fact, right? How much do you, but like, Will believed in himself, literally yelling Steph Curry chants out, right? What are they going to say now? This guy is pumped and fired up, and then he just kept going and going. And I don't know how he did it still, but just little things like that. It's a big mental game, of course.
So let's talk DraftKings. 68 players, no cut. What's a strategy? Just find one or two guys that no one has and just load up with who you want, because all my picks this week look like they're overwhelming chalk.
Yeah, I think the biggest factor is there is some 6K guys that are getting a lot of love. So
you don't use them?
Maybe, or like at least get different with them. But like you talked about earlier, some might say only one 6K guy. I think you can get aggressive and go 2. I think you could play 3, because some of the guys, we talk about this all the time, like Varner at 6,900 could have been 7,300 here and it wouldn't matter.
So here are the guys,
little things like that.
Here are the guys in the 6s generating the most interest at the moment. Kitayama, who's the dead man, I have at 7% right now. But in the double digits, Mullinix, my guy.
For sure, yeah.
And like, especially with how Cantlay talked about the course, people are going to go to Mullinix. He's playing well. I'll probably fade him this week like an idiot and not ride the hot form. But he's like 13, 14, 15% right now. And all of the ownerships are going to be wildly inflated because there's only 68 people.
Yes.
So chalk is not normal chalk this week. Like, if someone's 12%, that's probably gonna be like low owned.
And you also gotta see what's around a certain guy. That's why it always gets talked about, and it's even more obvious in an event like this. The 6K like Mullinex could come through. He makes perfect sense on paper, but when he gets that inflated of an ownership and you actually have guys that are like 1% or 2% around him, you're talking about a 5 or 6 to 1 difference between them in ownership. When you get up top, there's going to be decisions that you actually have to make, because a guy like you said at 20% at 8,900 might not be as bad as you actually think, because it also matters what's around him.
Yeah, the 14% at 6,200, much worse than the 20% at 8,900.
Or 22%.
Yeah,
exactly,
whatever it is.
Whatever
this
it ends
week.
Up being. We'll use Cam Young as the example.
So Mullenix, Taylor Moore, Wyndham Clark, Griot, and Stallings appear to be the five that are going to generate the most ownership down in the $6,000 range. I feel like there's just easy pivots off of all of these guys. Like, really, what's the difference between Mullenix and Steele? Steele can't putt, but Mullenix really can't either. He's been better lately.
Yeah.
I don't know if I... And Steele might be a bad example because I don't want to go to him. I just look at Troy Merritt at the $6,300. And although he doesn't fit the profile that I want, you kind of mentioned Brian Harman. I just feel like his putting can keep him in this.
And some of these guys are going to come through.
And I think a lot has been said, like, oh my God, look how long this course is. It's 7,000 or 7,534 yards, par 71. A lot of that is made up in two of the par fives, which it doesn't seem like anyone's going to get to in two. So who cares about how long you hit it? And then there's a bunch of really long par threes, like 200. So a lot of it's wrapped up. When I actually went and counted the 400 to 450 yard par four, there's like seven of them. So it's not as long as people think.
It's again a little bit deceiving because of that. And it's also how you play things and how good you feel about your game. I watched it on 16 this past weekend. It was definitely a gettable hole in two, but at some, like the pin placement, for example, on Saturday, it was the risk versus reward might not have been worth the risk because you were oftentimes sailing over it to the backstop, having to get out, and then you're short-sighted up into that hill that nobody could chip up. So it was like you were better off. The guys that laid up, you had this huge landing zone that you could just plant it in and at least have your look at birdie, and a lot of guys made birdie that way instead of trying for the eagle. I think it's a similar thing here. A lot of these guys, if they just hit fairway, a good, you know, layup, if you will, to get in the zone they like to be in, can have their shot in and still find their way through it. And then the other greens, it just comes down to the lag putting, the three putt avoidance, that sort of stuff. So I agree there. What was your take on your boy Luke List? He's there at the start. I actually think he'll be higher owned than Kitayama, regardless of what anything else out there says. It won't be a it's not like I'm saying crazy distances. I'm just saying I feel like he'll come in higher than Kitayama down at the bottom.
He's been so fucking bad.
Right.
Like, it's incredible how bad he's been.
But he's like Hoagie a few weeks ago bad.
He is, but...
Or like Straka last week bad.
But this is what has happened to him, and one of the main reasons that I... Because I remember I used to bet him every single week, and then I stopped doing that, and then I got back on board. The biggest change in his game when he started... Where was it last year? I think it was the Wells Fargo last year. He ended up coming in sixth. And then all of a sudden, his short game returned. And like, you can look at his ball striking, the off-the-tee and approach. It's good. It's always good. He's always going to be in the positives on those things. He's very good at that. And you have to hope he doesn't lose six strokes putting. But the biggest difference when he went through his slump was he couldn't chip anymore. And now, all of a sudden, he has all these positives. He's gaining two strokes, three strokes. He's gaining every week around the greens. And what have we seen basically since he won at the Farmers? He kept it up for a little bit and then lost the ability like all through putting. He was like seven strokes putting. But since the Masters, he's gained around the greens once. And he's missing cuts every single time. So when you're a terrible putter and you have no short game, because the short game was saving him. It was putting him to like 2 feet. He can go tap those in. Now he's leaving himself like 9 feet and he can't make those putts. So he's making so many bogeys that maybe for DraftKings scoring in a no-cut event, I see the sense in it. I just feel like he's just making too many bogeys to actually compete. Like, he's not going to give you any placement points.
Yeah, flip side would be that he could outscore his placement. And secondly, just to add that, I wasn't going to say that first, but the other thing is what you talked about, he probably doesn't need around the green here.
I think you do.
I think he'll be okay. I think he's a better ball striker than that. If everyone's doing the same thing and he's getting there, again, his putting is always going to be the issue. But when you're only paying the stone minimum $6,000, the guy can make birdies. And if those bogeys you're saying were stemming from a poor around the green game, I think he can avoid some of that by hitting some of these bigger greens, lagging it up and being able to do it. And again,
yeah, but I don't know if he can lag it up. Is that's still a problem?
The other question is, what if he does? Again, he's always going to have to some, but the point would be the greens are bigger, but there's guys that are also better ball strikers that may be able to find the, you know, closer to the pin, more opportunities gained, if you will. So
yeah, I think I'm
he still stands over me. Not someone I'm going crazy with, but I like Herbert actually right above him for 6,100 to get away from both Luke List and Kitayama.
I don't mind that. Smalley makes some sense based on the course description. I guess he gained on approach last week. He was 13th at the Wyndham. He just drove the ball. I assume he put the ball in the water like three times. Like when you look at his driving stats, you're like, well, it was his worst performance of the year off the tee. That reeks of a lot of water going around. There's not a lot of water at this course, which is nice. And if the rough isn't as penal as some people think, then maybe you can miss a few fairways. I think I'm going to swerve, and my contrarian take this week and how I'm going to construct a lot of my lineups is, like, Merritt makes a lot of sense to me here. Putnam, again, even someone like Matt Kuchar, Brian Harman, Russell Henley, that type of player, I just feel like they're, because there's such a Bombers narrative, and we don't really know, and I could be dead wrong, but I feel like that's where I'm going to get my leverage this week, is by taking the sort of more accurate driver, maybe not as long, because everyone's like, oh my God. But like I said, even on these par five, the two of the three par fives, if no one's getting there in two, who cares how short you hit it if everyone has a wedge in?
Yeah, I agree. That's what I said. I got no problem just going away. You could build some Bombers lineups. We talk with Ben Raza all the time, the stack skill sets. I think that's something you could do. What was the other thing I was going to say too down here? Oh, the trademarks. You got the three TMs, right? Taylor Moore, Troy Merritt, Trey Mullinex. Did you have an order on those three?
It's only going to be Merritt for
okay,
me.
Okay, because the other two are looking to be pretty heavily owned, and probably for good reason. Again, Mullinex and Moore, but Merritt is right there as well, squeezed in between them. Same initials. Maybe he comes through instead.
Maybe.
And same for me. I had Lucas Glover last week. Now I'm flipping to Lucas Herbert.
So why not ride out Glover?
I don't know.
Because he kind of fits like the Troy Merritt. I mean, he can't putt, but...
The conviction from Baroff last week had me on him, so I didn't get that this week. So I'm going back to the normal style here, and I got Herbert rating out better, so I'm going to go with him.
How did Straka fare after his win? Let's see, missed the cut at the Arnold Palmer, then he was 9th, 30th, 3rd. And then he went on his horrible run until last week. Like, I'm seeing him at like 1.8% ownership. Do we just go back to Seb Straka?
No. I think that was...
No chance?
No. I mean, the benefit is when he gets into the mix, he really does his thing. Think back to Honda this week here. Like,
even Heritage.
He is literally a dog. Like, this guy was making incredible shots. 17, he was behind trees. I thought he's dead. He puts the 18 feet, goes up and does the job there. All down the stretch, he was still doing it. I don't know why he was taking on some of the shots he was taking on, but that would worry me. But at 6,700, I can see it. I just think, again, I was looking down below. Like, I guess we didn't talk about these two, but Wyndham Clark, you mentioned from an ownership perspective, but Sebastian Munoz can make birdies. You know, there's a guy at 6,500. I feel like we've played him at a lot more. He stands out a little bit. Harold Varner, ultimate flop leg. Everyone loved him last week at 74.
Did they? I guess we didn't do the show. So I just...
Yeah, it wasn't like the highest owned on the slate or anything in that range, but it was the point of, you know, he was definitely played at 7,400 and he sort of just said, screw it, I'll move on to next week. He's at 6,900 now. I definitely have interest there.
I would think that Kirk is in a nice rebound spot because he hurt my feelings last week.
Yep.
And I think he hurt a lot of people's feelings last week. It was just like Munoz the week before at Wyndham just absolutely crushed my soul.
That's what I'm saying. I'll go back to these guys as certain candidates that now have price drops that now are in a no cut. For sure, they can't hurt your feelings with a miscut, but you know they could score and outscore their finishing position as well.
No one will be going back to Spahn at the dead min. It's not like he played... I mean, he ended up coming 42nd. He had one very bad round.
Yeah.
But he had three really good rounds. He was 8th at the Rocket Mortgage. It's not like he's in like horrendous form.
Yeah. He could be your pivot if you want to go away from the Kitayamas or the Lists of the world.
Yeah. All right. Well, at the very top, if we're looking at like the overwhelming... Is Cam Young going to be the highest owned guy? Is that what you're seeing?
I don't know. It's tough to say. Like, again, I'm looking at more high stakes stuff too, but I got him at 22 right now.
Finau, Cam Young, John Rahm, Cam Davis, Rory is what I'm seeing right now.
Cam Davis definitely.
I'm good with not playing Cam Davis. If that comes back to bite me, then it bites me.
Two guys, and they are both Camerons that don't seem to fare well as chalk, is Cameron Young and Cameron Davis. I'm sure you remember like plenty of times playing Cam Davis where we need that 8-footer on 18 just to make the cut. Again, it's a no cut, and I understand why, and his birdie rate is off the chart. So on paper, incredible on the sense of ownership mattering. There is a lot of guys around him that you could play that, to me, are no different.
And then everyone else is, I mean, you're going to have your guys that, like, no one is on from the top end, but it's almost pick your favorites at that point. Like, the difference between Justin Thomas, Zalatoris, Rahm, and Rory is negligible.
Yeah, I think Rahm and Rory get more love than the top range normally does because of the fact you can fit them so easily here and people can go down and play these 6K guys and easily talk themselves into it. So Rahm and Rory for sure get love up top. Crazy enough, last week we talked about the live final. Nobody played Justin Thomas. And he was 10-2, and people were talking about him all week like he was going to be a heavier owned play, at least in MME. And there's only 40 guys in the tournament, so I get it. But zero played him, so that was interesting. The mid-tier guys I'm seeing here, Pat, like Scottie Scheffler, Matt Fitzpatrick, Sung Jae Im, Neiman, those are guys that sneakily get love from the public late. So
those are all the guys I bet this week. So
yeah. So, I mean, when you see them on certain ownership projection sites, you might not see them as high as what you'd expect, but, or as what I'm sort of putting out there, but I do think they still get some love. Scheffler at 9,800. I just don't see how he doesn't get played. Maybe it's more in the high stakes, but you can easily fit him in with, I can fit him in as my third guy.
Here's the issue. Why not just play Finau at 97? The guy's been incredible.
Oh, I think people will.
And he's still not being priced probably where he should be.
Yeah, he's playing very good. And that Sunday was one to remember. Him, Young, Burns, those three. Cameron Young, Sam Burns, Tony Finau on Sunday, all very hurtful, all had many opportunities throughout the day to score. Finau should have been in the mix, but so should have Rahm, who's up there. Again, you got to pay a little bit more for it, but Rahm on the week, everything really but the putter.
So maybe it's best to talk about the guys that no one is playing to see if we enjoy them. So in the 8Ks, everyone's going to have double-digit ownership above 9K. Just the way it's going to line up construction is going to work this week. Although I'm seeing the lowest-owned guy being either Cantlay or Xander, which is kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, so the interesting part about that is, like I said, if you think, like I do, I think late steam on Scheffler and Fitz, what ends up happening is then Xander and Cantlay become sort of better pivots to them because they're very similar on paper.
I can play Xander this week.
Yeah, I definitely think you can. He went down $1,000 from last week. The field got smaller. You know, I think there's
no cut event. No cut event with Xander. Don't forget.
I did factor that in a little bit to the ownership there. I just think people sneakily love playing Matt Fitzpatrick. They think they're sneakily doing it, but I'm saying that's sort of in their head that he rates out better. The books like him better, so odds will be in his favor and that sort of thing. So, and with the balance builds, you can go like Finau, Fitz, and another guy and drop down or whatever you want to do.
So I think that everyone should play at least one of these guys in their lineup if they just want to be slightly different. And obviously they have huge upside. They're in the 8Ks. No ownership for Spieth. No ownership for Lowry, Homa, Hideki, or Hatton. Or Adam Scott, really. Adam Scott will get some steam towards the end of it because people like he gained all the strokes putting last week and he's somewhat cheap. But those four guys, Spieth, Lowry, Homa, Hideki, five, and Hatton. One of those five guys is going to be the linchpin to lineups this week.
Yeah. We should note that before I hopped on the show, our guy tracking Hideki put out that it's, we're still going to wait and see. It's a little shaky.
Okay, so no Hideki. Let's not even take that chance.
I don't know if I want to take the chance. Again, it sounded like he's got the neck flaring up again. So we'll have to wait and see if he ends up taking one more week off or if he tries to give it a go. Nothing official yet. Just the guy has been accurate in letting us know when something's going on with him. So I think that's something to keep an eye on. Spieth, for sure, is the guy I would have most interest in there. So I like Spieth and Lowry to answer the two of the five, keep the other ones out of it. But the difference would be, I talked about this last week, I really do just feel like Lowry's run is done. And I think that doesn't mean he can't come top 20. I'm just saying if I'm looking for upside
Top 20 is no good here.
It's not good at that price. I think Spieth has a higher risk of ruin or bust, but I think I like his upside if he does get into the mix and start doing his thing. And when he can sort of find his way around out there and just, these larger greens, better putter, all of those factors, I kind of like Lowry a little bit more when it's a tougher course, right? We've seen it in the past where he can grind. The around the green game matters so much more, all those factors. So a little more love for Spieth if I'm picking one of those guys.
I was trying to figure out where I want to start my lineups this week because I didn't play any. Actually, I played a bit of Scheffler last week. Not a good outcome for me, but it was just minimal. Like I had built most of my lineup starting with Finau and working down. So I avoided all of the top end guys. I feel pretty good about doing that again this week. Like I could start my lineups we've seen too many guys this year go on a run and keep it going. So why don't we just go back to Zalatoris at 10?
Yeah, you can.
I was thinking about betting him again.
Oh,
he's got the feels now.
Maybe not for me. I'll just after last week, just no need. And then on top of it, now he just won $2.7 million. He's in the zone. He's already up at the top of the board. He's not going to play bad.
I bet you his ownership is lower this week than it was last week.
It should be. It almost always is after a win.
Yeah.
So I would expect that. He's 10K in a range where you've got Rahm, Rory for $300 or $500 more. Scheffler is cheaper than him now. There is no way. I've got him at like 12%, 11%, somewhere in there. 10 to 12.
So maybe not bet him, but I can see starting my lineups at 10K with Will Z. It makes things pretty easy.
I'm just going to start with Rahm.
You're going to start with Rahm?
In large field stuff, I'm going to play Rory and Rahm. I don't care. Like, I'm just going to get over all these guys in the middle that everyone sort of has to pick and choose their dudes, and I'm willing to go a lot more aggressive. But I like Rahm. I think Rahm wins this week. So I didn't bet him. 14 to 1, though, even that's still out there. Maybe if you can find an even better number. But that number, I think, could be 8 to 1 here.
Tom Kim?
Interesting.
Is it too many weeks in a row?
I don't know about that as much as like where a lot of his stuff stems from, right? What we're looking at. He's been playing incredible golf. I don't care about the fatigue. He's 20. I literally have zero care about that. The issue is where you're pricing him now. I don't care about long-term or not. I'm still going to play him over him. I know people say like Cam Young's there, so it's a pivot to Cam Young and you can go to it.
I think I'd just rather play though. I mean, I like all three of those guys this week.
Yeah.
Maybe if I could play those three together.
Yeah.
I think that could work.
I think I don't know everything or anything, but I'm just saying, I think it's a bad strategy because we see the winners here and they're a big dog up top. You are going to need the winner this week in your lineup.
Yeah, but maybe those guys are actually the big dogs. Maybe the big dogs aren't really the
big
dogs.
They're not the big dogs. It's Rory. It's Rahm. It's Scheffler. Zalatoris, if you will, like what you said, go back to him. Cantlay X, people aren't even playing. You don't have to get sneaky. You can just play.
But like Cantlay, the year that Justin Thomas won this event was the year that Justin Thomas couldn't win.
Sure.
And then he was the year he got injured. He ended up coming back. He won this event. Cantlay, this was like a part of his run last year. Like essentially, Cantlay last year is like Zalatoris is right now.
I will say this, a $9,500 guy or above will be in the optimal and in the winning lineup. So when you're starting at Sungjae Im and going balance.
Okay, I'm not saying that you need to start with Sungjae.
Oh, I thought you were saying start with
Sungjae. No, I'm saying you can play those three guys together. Yeah. You can still go to Finau. You can go.
Yeah, do that then. That's what I was. I thought you were saying like start with Im and try the ultra balanced lineup that won at the Memorial, which was actually still started at 8,900, I think, when Billy Ho won and had 5 8K guys and a 7K guy. I don't like that build at all for here. I don't even think it's sneaky. I just think it's bad.
I just think you can get away with the 4-2, like the Stars and Scrubs 4-2 this week. Yeah, definitely can do
that. It pretty much worked last week. That's what we talked about.
And if you can just get the right, I got the right 6K guys last week.
Yeah.
That's very important.
I have no problem with that. I thought you were saying to start with Sungjae Im, and I think that's bad.
So the other guys in the 7Ks, it feels like the 7K is going to be wildly underrepresented this week. It's either going to be the one guy who everyone has, and then pick your poison with some of these other just names. And it's not a very big range this week, but it looks like everyone's playing Cam Davis. Pendrith's getting a lot of love. Mito's flirting with that. Davis Riley's flirting with that, but no Seamus Power, no Keegan Bradley, no Brian Harman, no Billy Horschel, who's another guy who hurt my feelings last week. Mav is way down there. Denny is way down there. No Siwoo. No one's using Norin. Werner, who you mentioned. Now we're into the sixes. Kisner had a really good irons and putting week last week, by the way.
Yeah. And he likes money, too. I know he's sitting right there. I think he's 28th right now.
So he needs a result here.
Yeah, he's got like Data Golf has a really good option on their site where you can actually see. And it's crazy. I think there's like 22 or 25, maybe 25 guys are already locked in for East Lake. So there's no real spots open. There is five, but I'm saying five or six. But he's right there. He's 28th right now. Kisner, we know how much he loves the money, wants to get that. Get to East Lake, you get those extra major exemptions, all those factors. So you could play it from a motivation angle. The difference is everybody's clearly motivated.
Yeah, but at least he showed me something last week. And that's big for me.
And he's at what, 6,800?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's that. I do think one of the interesting things is the 7K range is, as much as we've made fun of the 10K, or the 9K and above range the last few weeks, again, when you get into a smaller field, it is what it is, but only 15 guys in the 7K range. And who do you got that's owned? Like Taylor Pendrith is going to be owned. Cam Davis, of course, we already talked about the highest owned, probably in that range. Bunch of other guys at what, 8 to 10%?
Or less.
7 to 10 or less. That's not usually the case. And in standard roster construction, most of the season, you're having a balance here of guys in that same spot, but not when the field's this small. I would expect a lot more inflation, but because people want to play the 6K guys. So like I talked about earlier, I'm going to go super aggressive in some. I'm not going to go with the skill set stacks, but I will build different styles of lineups this week. And I think just staying in the 7Ks or including like a one of a Werner or a Kirk or a Kisner, whatever, where I call them a 7K guy anyway, and building up from that way, I think could still be unique because you can actually get some good leverage on these 7K guys that people aren't on.
I find it really crazy. Not crazy. I get why people are playing Pendrith over Keith Mitchell, but that shouldn't be like a 3X difference in ownership like it's looking like right now.
Yeah, I don't have it as 3X, but I am still surprised, and I'm with you on that. I actually
They're very similar type players, except Mitchell can actually get super hot with long irons.
Yeah, and Pendrith is going to be obviously based on the recent form, what people have seen, all those top finishes, all that. And sometimes, Pat, the answer, and I've been here many times, is just to play both.
Yeah. Right? I could see myself not playing any 7K guy this week.
I think a lot of people can. Not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that's why we're talking about this and why the ownership is the way it is. It's very easy to skip this range. You don't have to
go here. But people aren't skipping Cam Davis. Like, he's a lock this week, according to at least the way people seem to be putting stars next to his name on Fantasy National.
Like, even, I don't know. I'm sometimes bad with this, but even in higher stakes, what does he push, 20?
I would guess
80% of lineups don't have him. If he gets to 25, you want to put it instead of going, you know, a 17 to 20 range, you could put like a 20 to 25 on him. If he gets higher than that, I mean, that's getting a little bit crazy, then it just becomes horrible to me.
But I would guess combined ownership in not necessarily high stakes, but let's say the $5 or the $20, that between Davis and Pendrith, you're pushing 40-ish%.
Yeah, there's just too many other guys around them.
Yeah, and you can play everyone else at 4%.
Davis Riley, I think he's got upside.
That makes sense. If he can get, like, it just, is he going to share? I like Keegan. It's just Keegan's been so bad.
I like Keegan too.
But we're now back in the part of the country where Keegan can play. Oh, Paul, you're in on Keegan finally? The Keegan Whisperer?
Isn't the conversation?
I rigged up a quick little Google Maps here. I believe Wilmington Country Club is in the Northeast. This may be the last opportunity we have to play Keegan, because if he doesn't play well this week, he's not getting to next week. We're playing Keegan.
I'm playing Keegan.
All right.
I'm in too.
There's the 7,200 Keegan Bradley.
And even if he gets late steam, hey, it's
going and he's another guy. I mentioned all the big names that win the BMW championship. Keegan Bradley.
Yeah, he's the standout. What was 140-1?
Well, I mean, Bryson won it that year when he won the back-to-back weeks, but he won it like 80 weeks because we hit him at 80-1 at the Northern Trust, and then he won. We didn't bet him the next week, but he won again at like 45-1. Like, Bryson wasn't Bryson then.
Bryson makes the case for the Willie Z. So does everything, like the Billy Horschels, yeah. all the multi-winners in the playoffs. Makes the case for Willie Z up top. But I do like Keegan back to it. And I was going to say, Nor'easter, right? We got that spot. So I think Paul nailed it. We go back to Keegan at 7,200.
Anything else DraftKings-wise you think we should hit on?
I think we're good.
Playing the week one. You're going to play in the week one PME Open?
Already got my spots. I think it's going to sell it quick. And it's going to be 100K quick, too. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if week two has the same sort of cachet.
Oh, it doesn't, but I just think as the season goes on, I don't know, NFL's ramping up. It's going to be big this year. So
you just notice, like, when it comes to, like, downloads, content, like, the interest that people have, it's generally the first 3-4 weeks. Like, September, people are jazzed for football. Like, I just see it, like, with my ranking show with Seaway, and it only makes sense in fantasy football the longer the season goes on for, like, season long, the less interested people become because half the league is out of it already. So what do they care anymore? So I see, like, the ranking show always starts out as the most downloaded, the most watched, and it just progressively goes down as the season goes along. The DraftKings show starts like here, but goes up as the season goes along. And then the spread pick show with Jeff and Tim just only grows throughout the, it starts popular and it only gets more popular by the end of the year. Because more people are betting now too. Like, we've been doing that show for like 7-8 years back when people couldn't bet on spreads.
Yeah.
And people still enjoyed it.
Or people had to bet through like their local government on their lottery stuff and things like that. Now it's just a lot more options. Plus we've got our show now coming back. This show. For NFL. And that's going to be a show that grows. That's going to be a show with winners. I'm excited for that. And this has been a lot of fun.
Sunday Night Live as well in this studio right after the game, after the afternoon games. At the beginning, I just want to have something out there that people can watch that night, because I'm always looking for something, like, after Sunday Night Football ends, to, like, listen to or to watch that's talking about what I just watched. I really enjoy that. That's something that I like to consume, or I want it for the moment I wake up on Monday morning before I go to work.
Right.
And I feel like I'm going to have that covered this year. We're still working out the structure, but it's going to be me and Cust live in studio.
It's going to be
and a rotating third guest every week.
Yeah, I'm going to swing through at some point, I'm sure, because we'll watch
the games
and then do that after or something. Yeah, I'm definitely interested in that too. It's going to be a good one. Give me some money.
When PXG says nobody makes golf clubs the way that they do, they're not lying. The PXG clubs I now have are absolutely incredible. So when I heard about their new Black Ops driver, the driver that promises you don't have to sacrifice distance for forgiveness, I had to try it because they call me the sandwich on the tee box. I got an awful lot of slice, and I've spent the past 3 years trying to work that out of my game. So I had one driver, then I had another driver, and then I went to a swing coach. I'm still going to my swing coach. And I went to a PXG location for a fitting and got my Black Ops driver, perfectly tailored to me. But here's the sneaky thing. When you're average height, like Pat Mayo, there's not a whole lot of fitting you need to do. Clubs are made for you. But if you're taller, if you're shorter, you need to go to a PXG location to make sure that it's perfect for you to get that Black Ops driver with the breakthrough in driver technology, because let's face it, we're not the guys that we're betting on all season long. We have some struggles when it comes to the game of golf, but we do want to get better. Like, I'm actively trying to get better. I took myself down from a 20 handicap to a 10 handicap, and I'm really hoping that without losing a bunch of balls and adding distance,
adding accuracy this year that I can get into that single digits. Maybe even try to challenge like breaking 75 this year. I broke 80 last year, hoping to break 75 at least once this year. And I do think with my new PXG Black Ops driver that I might be able to accomplish that. It's at least given me the best chance that I have. It has more forgiveness, more distance without sacrificing anything. Game changer has been thrown around so much it's really lost meaning. But trust me when I tell you, the PXG driver is a true game changer. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. So learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/mayo. And use code mayo at checkout. That's pxg.com/mayo, code mayo, for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/mayo, code mayo.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Live chat. You got to be subbed to Mayo Media Network in order to ask your questions. So please go do that right now. Smash like, play in the Listeners League. All that fun stuff. People have been waiting around. John asks, morning, fellas. Favorite play under $6,200 this week?
Lucas Herbert.
I guess under. That's only 61 and 6,000. I mean, you kind of sold me on Herbert. I kind of like Smalley a little bit, but I don't know if I can get there.
I don't think
you have to go that low, by the way.
Yeah, I think people want to.
Yes, because they want to play Rory and Rahm or something.
You want to play a lot of those guys up top, and you want Cam Young or Neiman to be your third or fourth guy in, and then they can easily do that going this way.
Jim Steele, thanks for all you do. Thank you, Jim. About to win my one and done. That's awesome. Who brings it home? Tom Kim, Billy Ho, or Neiman? I'd go with Neiman. Neiman or Kim?
Neiman or Kim for sure.
Is Billy Ho a good play this week? After, like, I bet Billy Ho last week, and he was bad. But like sometimes he sneaks up on the ball. Like, he always sneaks up on the ball when he's putting. So I got to imagine some weeks the ball gets terrified.
That's another thing. We've seen it a little bit on TV. The most painful shot routine before his putt to watch. Like, it's got to be tilting the other guy that's lining up his putt. He's only 10 feet away, and he's over there just keeps locking the wrist and trying to do his thing and fake shot, like everything. It's just the longest process I've ever seen. But at least he does it before, so he's not slow like Cantlay. I think he's interesting, but the other one would be the flop leg, $100 less. Russell Henley burned a lot of people last week. Don't think it sets up better for him or anything like that. I'm just saying
It could be a Henley week.
You want to just play a pure play that, if everyone loved him last week, it's not the same, but why not just go back at that price? And especially in a range where people aren't going to. Like, that's sort of the dead zone. Harmon, Henley, Horschel, Scott, right? Everyone's going to play Cam Davis at 76 or below or above. Not many people are going to play within that range. Even Aaron Wise at 8,100. He'll get some late love in the ownership market, but he's just not going to be as popular as some of the guys above and below.
You just answered Andy's next question about where the dead zone is. That is the dead zone.
Feels like it. And really, you could include
this 7K is the dead zone.
Yeah, you could include as far as Hatton. I think Wise becomes the highest owned of those guys. But if you go Hatton down to Harmon, the double H there, that's where you're going to find some spots that you can find some guys.
Wyndham Clark or Taylor Moore? I'm not buying either one.
Clark would have more of my interest, though, at this type of course.
I've got more interest in Clark, for sure.
For this week in particular, better leverage strategy for GPPs. Two 10K guys were avoiding 10Ks altogether. I think it's avoiding 10Ks altogether.
Yeah, I think that more people have the two 10K guys because you can easily play the Rory Rahm or
but
the Rahm
I JT. I don't think you want to fade the 10Ks and go balance build. I still think you want to do that like four up top, two down low. Because I don't think that people really, like once they start saving the money and play like three 9K guys, it's like, oh, well, now I can play Cam Davis. Now I can play Taylor Pendrith and like one guy in the sixes. I feel like that's going to be very common.
I'm going to have a mix, like I said, because it's hard to say. It's not a cop, which is what I have enough lineups to do this. So I'm going to have Rory Rahm lineups. But I'm saying I do think the interesting way to go in like a single entry or like a higher dollar, stuff like that, is where you can just pick your guy up top, like Rahm, use the 6K guy to jam in a Rahm plus the middle. And instead of Rahm, Rory, skip down to the 6K, get your Cam Davis.
So like Rahm, Sungjae, Tom Kim, rest of your lineup.
And with your 6K guy, and then you still end up in the 7K range. Others are on, but they're using it with two guys at the top, and they're missing those 9K
guys. Yeah, you can just not play Cameron
Davis. Or they're playing three 9K guys, thinking, again, we've done this one a bunch of times. Three 9K guys is sneaky, but it's not.
Yeah.
That's the
thing. It depends on how you deploy it. Like, if you play three 9K guys with an 8K guy, I feel like that is actually a bit sneaky.
Yeah, it could be fine, but that's what I said. Like, it's going to be, most people are going to play Scheffler, Finau, Sungjae, or something like that, or Cam Young, and do it that way, like 2 9K, 2 8K, and 2 7 or something. Not against it. I'm just saying that's where I see it going, and I'm fine with that. Like, Scheffler to me is a fine play up top, even if he gets the ownership like I expect in higher stakes. At 9,800, you gotta take a chance at the bounce back here.
Like, you could do something like this, for example, if you really wanted to. If you had two guys down below that you really liked, Finau, Xander, Morikawa, and Niemann to start. And then you have 260, you have 63.5 left, and people seem to like the lows, so you could go, if you just threw Kitayama in that, you could now have 67 if you wanted to, and that's not I don't play Chris Kirk.
You can maneuver it around too, right? That's what I'm saying.
Like, you don't need those exact four guys, but I think that core four to start of 85 to 10,000, four guys from there, I don't think that people are necessarily, people are obviously going to do it, but I think that's not going to be the way that people deploy the 9K line, the three 9K lineups. Mm-hmm. It's more likely to be those three guys, Cam Davis, Pendrith, and Wyndham Clark or something.
Yeah, I looked at it, and just an original tendency that I had, like when I was just sort of hand-building out of the gate, it was very easy to build a Finau starting point lineup. So I actually feel like that will be more common than some may think. True. Again, doesn't mean it's wrong. I'm saying it's easy to start there with him and just say, what's the difference between him? He's been on a hot run. The talks of him getting the wins in worse fields, and then last week in a strong field, shows up and was still very, like, could have won the thing. He was in the mix, made no putts on Sunday, so I understand going to him there and starting with him. I just think I would still rather have like Rahm, Finau, and figure it out. There's enough guys to use.
Well, how about this as a baseline strategy this week? If you want to play Finau, make sure he's your second guy in. If you're thinking about starting your lineups with Finau, play Xander instead.
You could do that.
I feel like that gets you way different very quickly.
Yeah, Xander in the no cut maybe gets a little late steam, but like I said, the fact that he's between Finau and Fitz. And like I said, people, if Fitz comes in really low owned, then he's a great play. I just still think he gets the late steam.
I mean, even if you think that...
Even if he gets the ownership, I should say this, he's still a great play, in my opinion.
I used to, he was my, in the race for the Mayo Cup. Yeah. He was my one and done last
week. I like him at 9,500. So earlier to your Burns point, that's why I used the 9,500 or up. You could definitely look at some lineups that way, but I still think it's going to be stacking him into a lineup versus starting with him that I'll prefer. But just looking at it from that perspective, I wouldn't start with anyone lower than him.
Young, regardless of ownership, Cameron Young or Sungjae Im? I like Cameron Young.
Yeah, I've got Cameron Young.
Fitz or Finau? I like Finau better.
I've got Fitz. Finau is better for sure on paper from what he's been doing lately. I still have Fitz because I think the ownership will be
But this is no ownership. I think they're just taking like what I...
Finau has just been way better. So yeah. Stick with that. Fitz has a great season going, won the U.S. Open, all those factors.
He was like fifth last week, wasn't he?
Of course, set up too. Yeah, he was still in the mix too. I just, from being there, Finau, seeing him, a little fun story actually. We were waiting right before I saw Willie Z on that putting green making all those practice putts. Finau's wife was standing there because it's the player zone where they walk through to get to these areas.
She got her phone back?
She had her phone. We talked to her. She had her phone. And she said she was a little disappointed that he didn't let it stay in there longer because she actually wanted an upgrade. the phone ended up working, and Finau talked about this on PGA Tour yesterday, that she's like, yeah, I kind of wanted a new phone, so it wasn't that, I wasn't that mad about it like he thought, but it sucks. I got to have this old phone now, she said, and it got soaked last week. So
yeah, I like that she can't upgrade her phone after her husband won like $4.7 million over the last month.
lot of kids, man. A lot of kids.
That is a lot of kids. That's true.
So a lot of things to pay for, but yeah, no upgrades in the Finau residence.
Rahm, Finau, Cam Young look to be the highest owned guys. Do you think starting with all three would make you unique? Doubt it.
No.
What does that leave you like? That's perfect. Like that's the perfect cascade of how people do their lineups. A 10K guy, a 9K guy, an 8K guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't want all. Like again, if it happens, go ahead, and you can definitely get different with it. So I'm not against starting with it. I'm just saying, to your point, they are probably the three most popular after everything that happened last week. After how everything's been going for these guys, they are going to be the most popular. So I wouldn't really want to start with all three in higher stakes.
Owen asks, what range would you recommend using in your mixed condition model on fantasynational.com/Mayo for 20% off, by the way, on any membership level? Would it be strokes gain proximity from 150 to 175, or should I even include that in my model? I think based on what I said and how I think this tournament actually plays itself out, I think you're going to see a lot of shots from like 125.
Yeah, I don't look at the bucket stuff very
No, but
much.
I'm just trying to think about how people are going to attack this course, for example. So yeah. You have all these par threes that are over 200 yards. So hitting longer irons in general is going to be somewhat important. And I don't think that you're going to see many players go after two of these par fives and two. What does that mean? They're going to lay up to like 100 to 125, whatever they prefer. So it's not going to be your exact bucket, but and there's those like seven short par fours where you're going to get yourself to 125 to 150. I think that there's going to be more in that range than people think. Like when you look at the course, you look at the yardage, you instinctively think like 150 to 200. I don't know if it's going to play out that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. That's what I said. I'm focusing on the guys that I think can score, because I think we're still going to see scoring. The way Cantlay described it yesterday is there's not much to it. I think that's true. I think guys are just going to find their way around here and be able to score. It's not going to be some newer courses. It's always like, even with Caves Valley last year, we underestimated it like for how easy it was actually going to be. I'm not saying this is going to get to those levels, because that had a lot of rain and different factors coming in. But typically, and Kenny talks about this all the time, a guy, Kenny Kim, saying like the new courses, they bring them on. They make them a little bit more scorable or gettable.
Yeah, and then they ratchet up the difficulty a little bit.
Right. And also, we've got the best players in the world. So, you know, the hashtag these guys are good. It's a saying for a reason. They're going to find their way around here and score. So that's what I'm going to focus on most.
Playing two 6K guys to cram in as many guys at the top as possible, a good strategy here? I think it is. I think it depends on which 6K guys you use. If you just don't use Mullinix, you're probably going to be fine.
Mullinix, Moore, Clark, you're going to have to take your picks there. We'll see. There has been a string of, a lot of talks around the industry of the chalk hitting. There has been a string of the value chalk really hitting, like some of the guys that people are on. If you think back to like the Wyndham, Clark, Patrick Rogers week, they were like the two most popular values.
Sure, but like last week, it was like Mullinix was the popular value. He was like 3% owned.
Yeah.
It was just more than the 0.9% that had Putnam and Glover and those guys. So yeah. It wasn't really chalk.
Yeah, this week there'll definitely be more guys that are even more high owned down there. So we'll have to see how it shakes out. But you can always go the reverse. I talk about this all the time. You can build bottom up and just take a stand on your value plays. If you did want to commit to them and you just really love a guy down low, you can still build very differently. Don't go up and put Rahm, Finau, Young in the same lineup if you're going with Mullinex or Moore or Clark or the guys that we thought would be 8 to 12% range. You can definitely just get different with the Cantlay, Xanders, Hovlands, you know, different Lowrys, ones that we talked about up top, and still have yourself a unique build with a more popular value play instead. It's just usually the value plays are worse chalk based on the numbers.
Most gross play, probably Spieth.
Spieth in a no cut and putting and all that. Like I think people are off him for the wrong reasons. I actually think he could be an interesting pivot there for Young.
That's what I'm saying. He said most gross play that you're on this week. You sold me on Spieth,
I'm
on Spieth.
I thought he said most gross play on the slate. I was like, well, I actually don't think that's the case for my lineups. But yeah, no, I hear you for sure.
Worst chalk in the 6 and 7K? I think that Cam Davis and Mullinix are bad chalk.
Yep.
And listen, they might be
bad great. Chalk gets there all the time, but it's apparent on the paper, and when you look at it, the numbers tell the story. Like, there's not much of a difference between any of those guys down low. In fact, you were probably playing some of those guys from, I'm sure a lot of people played Brendan Steele at 7K.
I did.
and did not play Mullinex.
I'll probably go and play Steel this week.
And now they're the same price, yet one is going to be 4%, the other's going to be 10 or 3 and 7, whatever it ends up being.
Mullinex is going to be like 15%.
Mullinex is going to be double or triple or maybe even higher than that on a guy like Steel. And the point was, last week, more people played Steel at 7K than Mullinex at that. Again, different course setup, totally understand all of that. But still, in the game of ownership and game theory, it still is an interesting piece to talk about.
I'm going to kind of cruise by the ones that we've answered, just like, is Xander going to be overlooked, being sandwiched where he is? I think that he will, even if he gets late steam, just being between Finau and Fitzpatrick, he's going to be lower owned, mm-hmm. just how that works. My choices this week are, I don't give a fuck what your choices are, pal. You're coming into Pat's chat and telling Pat what you think? No. Give your fucking head a shake, pal. This is your warning. Anyone else out there, you might want to go delete your comments before I get to it. If you're telling the other people in the chat, or Tambo and myself and Paul, who you're picking, we don't care. Start your own show, or you're banned for life.
You can tell Pat won money last week.
Yeah, I'm very generous this week.
He never gives warnings.
I think I forgot to say it at the beginning of the show like I normally do. So maybe this guy doesn't know. Now you know. Okay? Was able to get 20-1 on Scheffler. Should I cash it out for JT or Zalatoris at 18-1, or just let it roll? I mean, it seems like you bet on Scheffler. Like, if you like those other guys more and think they're going to win, yeah. But
I already thought about. I got the sucker boost bet on JT to 20.
I saw it's still available right now.
That's the problem. I want to cash that out. Kind of. I'm just put it on Rahm at 14, but. I don't know. I'm just riding off of last week. I'm definitely not betting both because the way the cards are.
14 and a half on the enhanced.
The enhanced.
You always look at the enhanced.
I look at it all. I like the eight places now too sometimes. But yeah, I'm not doing that. I'll just leave it. If you have Scheffler, it's fine. I think it's actually fine. Like I like him.
You can get the boost on Finau up to 22. I don't mind that.
I don't want that.
You don't want that?
No.
All right.
I think the Finau run is coming to an end here. I think he'll still show up. He's going to score well. His game's in full control. He can easily be your third guy into the lineup. Like I talked, if you're using those 6K guys, you can actually put him in as your third. You can go like Rahm, Scheffler, or JT Scheffler, Finau. You can do lineups like that this week and get away with it. So he's a fine play, but he reminds me of Lowry last week where it's like, I think we're getting top 20 or top 10 Tony this week and maybe not winning Tony. So Take that for what you will.
This guy's asking me about some sports book that I don't care about, so I'm going to pass on that. Tambo, congratulations on your win. Welcome back.
Thank you. Excited to be back.
Cam Smith, hip hurt or butt hurt? Scheffler diss, locker room response to his immediate departure. I think that like he's kind of sore and knows he doesn't need to play this week.
Two things. One, I was watching him on Saturday. I don't think he's an actor and posturing. He actually was really stretching out the hip on 16. One of the guys in the DK booth said, stretch it out, Cam. He was like putting his leg up, like leaning on his hip, stretching it out. So I think that's real. Secondly, very hippie birthday to Cam Smith. His birthday's tomorrow. So I think he's going to take it easy, rest the hip like he probably needs to, and celebrate his birthday weekend.
What's the lowest he can enter Eastlake at? Fifth in the FedEx Cup?
Oh, like, he's fine. That doesn't matter. That was the other thing. So, like we talked about it yesterday a little bit on Twitter, but he's going to be like four, even if he's four strokes back at Eastlake,
he's fine.
He has the whole tournament. He was four strokes back of Rory at the Open and won the thing at a way tougher setup, major, all those factors. I think he's going to be just fine over 4 days. The staggered thing doesn't really do it from that sense. It never really forces the issue too much in that sense. Even like Nah. Last year, didn't Nah come way back and end up tying Xander for the win, or was it Xander or Rahm?
It was Cantlay and Nah and Rahm. Those were the three at the end.
But Cantlay won.
Cantlay won, but Nah
Rahm
tied.
Rahm and Nah tied for
the best score.
That's who it was. Rahm and Nah, but I think Nah came from way back, but enough back that it was like it doesn't matter. It's doable.
Nah won me some money at Eastlake last year. Eastlake is such a weird course to have the tour champion. I mean, I like it because it legit is an any skill set type course.
I love it, actually. Yeah, I think it's a good spot. It's one I would like to attend. Not like a bucket list or anything, but I think that would be fun. Two, again, I'm not sure about Atlanta, Georgia, but I'm sure about...
I've been to Atlanta. Atlanta's nice.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm just saying it would remind me of this week. Memphis was nothing wrong with it. I like Tennessee, but the point was it wasn't like the be-all, end-all. I was more happy to be there because of the tournament.
Set a line on Hideki WD this week.
Don't need to. I think...
Plus 125 that he will.
Yeah, I think he's...
I think it's a coin flip.
When's his tee time?
Although someone told me that they were at the course yesterday. Hideki came out to the range. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. He's like, yeah, Billy Horschel's been out here for like 3 hours grinding. Hideki came and hit 10 shots, striped them all, and just walked off. Does that mean like he's hurt and that's all he can hit? Or his game is so locked in that he's like, yeah, I don't need to practice. a lack of practice would kind of indicate to me that maybe he's trying to like save it.
The scroll here is just killing me. Yeah, he's like one of the absolute latest. He's 2:20 p.m. when the last guys tee off at 3 o'clock.
I don't think it's worth it in a no-cut event.
Yeah. I just don't see it enough anyway that 8,400 is a fair price, but when you have other guys around, and we talked about it already, you got Young, Spieth, Lowry, Neiman, Homa, Connors, Wise, the dead zone below that. There's just so many other ways that you can go that even if he comes out, there's no guarantee that he comes through. So I don't see it as much. I kind of liked him a little bit on paper coming in, but again, not really for like a win, more of just like a fits your lineup at 8,400.
See, I would say it the other way. I think that if you do want to get some Hideki exposure, just bet him at 55-1. Don't worry, like if he withdraws, then, I mean, if he withdraws before his tee time, then you get your money back for one thing.
True.
And then, like, if he comes up and he shows up, at least you got something in the mix. And they're deep odds for Hideki. Like, he's the same as Connors. I like Connors this week. I don't think I said that.
This seems like a real Connors-y
course.
Yeah. I don't see the Hideki bet because I don't think there's any way he wins this week. But, again, it's up to you if you want to risk him on DraftKings. I probably won't. Update later. If I get a better update or see something on him, I don't mind him because he's basically average price. And now you start talking about those unique builds where you want to use some of these guys up above.
I'd use Spieth instead.
Yeah, he's there too, but you could play them together. They're the average pricing. You could have those two with your Finau ROM and make it different completely. So just little things like that that I'll check out when I do my lineups tonight. But I do think, as of now, there's no interest at 8,400.
Guys are talking about course comps. Kenny had mentioned it with Baroff, with the Robert Trent Jones, the U.S. amateur at Oakland Hills. Is that a comp? Smalley did well there. Someone asked that in back-to-back questions. I don't fucking know. I don't know how this course is going to play. It's just straight up my
I'm gonna trust the Cantlay quote the most. I just think it's like he said. There's not, and I think other guys have talked about it too. I don't think there's much to it. So I think there's going to be scoring. I think the guys are good. I think there's conditions set up well for it. There's no weather. There's nothing going on. The greens are bigger. They're going to hit them, and guys will make putts. So what do you think the winning score is? Minus 19? Minus 20?
Yeah, minus 22, something like that.
There's the thing. I'm estimating like minus 19, so minus 17 to 20 range. I think even 18 to 20 is a range, but it wouldn't surprise me when the range gets beat at 22 or something.
Yeah, or so, if it like rains overnight and people are lying about how thick the rough is and it's like hard to hack it out and people are left with 90-foot putts on the green. For example, the Plantation course, just to go back to that. Guys, Cam Smith shot like minus 35 at it. There was other guys who were over par, and those were all winners last year.
Yeah.
Like, if you have no sense of the speed on the greens and the greens are that big, you can start getting yourself into a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I think that's the one, like when you talk about the three putt avoidance and the lag putting and things like that, it does matter more at these courses, but then you also have the ball strikers that put it within 15 feet and now you got to have them make those or they're losing scoring opportunities. But again, everyone expects you to make every 10 footer.
Yeah, which never happens. It happens like 40% of the time they make the 10 footer. Yeah. Or me yesterday when I played, I didn't make a putt outside of 3 feet all day. So that's always fun when you have a bunch of like 5 foot putts per par and you make none of them. Yeah. Just my speed was off. Sucked. And some days I make them all.
Gotta get it ready. I think you have a big tournament.
It's a week from now. Yeah, I'm in a good zone at the moment. I can't get my driver and putter on the same page on the same day. The days that I'm not driving it well, I tend to putt well. And the days that I am driving it well, I don't putt at all. My irons have been awesome. So as long as I can keep my irons.
Mental game, Pat.
But it's all, I'm all in the same. Like I broke 80 again. So I've been sub 80 two of the past five rounds, and the other ones are like 83, 84, 81. Like I'm right around there, and I've been collapsing late.
Your real worry is if Cust continues this string of getting a little bit better. So you need him to come.
Well, Cust is our team captain, so
right. He's been playing better. You said as the summer goes on,
we're really like hyping him up here. Yeah, he's got a good diatribe on it in tomorrow's show with Feinberg. So tune into that. Last man in. Can you rank Glover, Smalley, List, and Kitayama? I go Smalley then Kitayama. That's it.
Kitayama, Smalley, Glover for me.
But you like List the best?
I like List better than Kitayama. I like Herbert the best. He just wasn't included in that situation. So,
yay or nay on the top 20? Lowry, Wise, McCarthy, KH, Lee, and Griot? Nah.
What was the exact question? Lowry?
Like top 20 bets.
Okay.
I don't like any of those guys. Lowry, Wise, McCarthy, KH, Lee, Griot? Griot maybe.
It'd be Lowry or Wise for me, but I don't know if that's wise. So I wouldn't really recommend going there. There's other guys you can bet instead.
When I was asking for the full name of the Plantation course at Kapalua, couldn't remember Plantation. This guy told me it was called the Plantain course. So thanks for nothing. Although it probably would have jarred my memory.
Would have jarred your memory.
Had I seen that then.
Trying to give the hints.
Any fear of Finau or Tom Kim due to them each struggling with their strongest attribute the past week? Finau with his tee to green, Tom Kim with his putting? I mean, I'm not concerned. Is Tom Kim a great putter, or did he have like one electric event on the greens? Because I would say Tom Kim's strength is he hits every fucking fairway, which is...
Strengths right now look like everything. If you go look,
yeah, like, and his irons have been awesome.
Justin Ray posted it. He's like top five in everything right now. So he makes sense from that perspective. The difference is, and last week was a big boy field too, but right now the pricing on with where he's at, there's $100 more, $200 more.
Yeah, but you could make it, with the way where they're at right now, and this is something that we're going to have to reckon with in terms of like NFL season. Once we have what we think the teams are going to do, we're going to use that in week one. And then in week two, it's like, well, don't even really pay attention to week one. Go with your gut and like what you think these teams are. But then we're going to get to week seven and just figure out that we need to amend what we're thinking about some of these guys. Right. Like if I told you from now, over the next 5 years, that Tom Kim wins seven times as much money as Sung Jae-im, would you be surprised? I would be, because that's like seven times a big multiplier. But if Tom Kim was just better than Sung Jae, I could see it. I'm not saying that is going to be the case,
yeah.
But sometimes now when we look at this, like I agree with your point. Sung Jae's better player than Tom Kim. It makes way more sense for $100 more. But that doesn't mean it's the right play.
Oh, for sure. You're not just, that's the point of pivoting that we always talk about. Everyone thinks like, well, if I'm not going to play him, I'm just going to pivot to the guy above him. Sometimes it's like just avoiding the range altogether is what gets you there, doing it in a different way. But I'm just saying I got a hard time pulling the trigger on Tom Kim when I've got M, Burns, Kawa, Fitz. Like, it's not much more to get these guys that I think are better plays.
Smalley or Clark? I like Smalley.
Oh, that's tough. I like Herbert if the same price. I like Clark if I'm picking.
Projected ownership on Grio? He's popping for me this week. Yeah, because he's playing better golf. I don't know. I have no idea. I doubt he's like 10%. I'd say 10%.
Grio. I got 9%.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Like popular, but not too popular.
Yeah.
Essentially how I describe
Grio. Everyone's getting played somewhat in some cases. Now there's certain guys getting not played at all, but the point is more he's a guy that's in the mix.
Will the Cam lineup be good here? Young and Davis. Yes, that will be very popular. Those two guys.
He asked, will it be good here?
I said we'll be popular in the same lineup.
Oh, well, it'll be popular for sure. Yeah. Will they be good? I said those two are two of the guys that struggle as chalk very often.
Just hit me, because I mentioned this on the Open Championship show when you, me, and Raza did it, and I didn't end up betting Cam Smith because I'm a moron, but I had pointed to St. Andrews greens. I think the Kapalua matches up very similarly because you're just going to have these super long putts, and if you can be really good from 70 feet and just two putt every time, or be like Cam Smith and just make them all apparently, but just be able to get that speed, get it early, and be able to continue with that, that's such an advantage. And I think that if you look at who putted well at those two events, I think that could lead you to something this week.
Do you have it? What Cam Young putted well.
Yeah. Enough. He also like drove every green. So.
Which I think total driving here is nice too. So man, he just looks so good at 8,900, but you have to build accordingly.
I mean, it's why I like Neiman. Neiman putted well at both those events.
Neiman also putted well at the Greenbrier when he won on Bentgrass.
Yeah, Bentgrass. Bentgrass guy.
Yeah.
Any Leishman love? Not really.
No. God, he played, by the way, that was another one. He played the Sunday round by himself. He was on hole 16 before we could even get there. And the next closest group was on 10. I was like, this guy literally just bolted the whole way. And he's a pretty big dude. So he's probably sweating his ass off. It was so hot out.
It wasn't like Neiman fastest round in history at East Lake.
I don't know if it was. I didn't end up seeing stats on it, but he was gone. Like we didn't even get to see him on 16.
All right. We've already answered that one. Does large green mean discount around the green entirely for leg putting or three putt avoidance, or is around the green still a factor? I think it's still a factor. Like, I think you can't chip yourself out of this tournament because with the greens this big, I doubt they're all flat. So if you have bad around the green, you might hit the wrong ridge. Then all of a sudden, you're putting for par from 30 feet. And then you might three-putt.
Yeah, so that's what, like, I look at the three-putt. Like, even last week, I used greens in regulation because, like, you couldn't – if you're not good – you know, if you're in the water or if you're not
you can't get it up and down
you
from
can't
there.
Have it. You're not going to fall into that group anyway, and there were smaller greens. So this week, the opposite effect to me is that, like, we just talked about, guys aren't even going to be necessarily going for those greens. They'll still miss from the spot they're at. I'm saying when you've got more wedges like that in and things in shorter irons in those spots, I think it could lead to less around the green game, plus the bigger greens in general. So I just don't see it. Like at St. Andrews, you talked about it. It was a little bit different there because you're driving greens. So you are going to have to get it up and down and things like that. Here, you'll always have to do it. I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying I don't think it's as important as some of the other stuff.
Finau and List or X and Herbert? Kind of like X and Herbert.
Yeah, I like that.
What will be the over-under on WDs this week? I don't fucking know. These are stupid questions. I don't want your stupid fucking questions. Yeah, I want real questions.
Last week was more the WDs because it's, you know, 125 or whatever. It was ended up being 121 or something. It goes down to this. Here, it's, you know, usually
what's
no
the matter? If I told you seven guys WD, what does that?
You're not
what
does that do thing, for first you? Of all, yeah, yeah, exactly. You
know, I don't know who they are. So what's the fuck?
I would worry more about like Norrin, for example, like to put an actual thing on it. For he WD last week at the end of close to the end of the second round, and now he's back here playing again. Do you think he's okay? I don't know.
Why are you on Herbert? Someone asked.
Just a price play. 6,100 down there.
No ownership.
No real ownership. People are playing Liss, Kitayama. From my long-term stuff, he rates out better. Is a little bit better on the putting factor that we talked about, the lag putting and just putting in general. So I'm playing it based off of that. He's a guy that I like. And I think it has upside. He literally won one of his earlier starts on the PGA Tour overseas. He's just a really good golfer for 6,000.
Yeah. I agree. Like he's someone
not a really. I guess I'd say he's a talented enough golfer, and I think he can come through here at 6,100.
And if you don't think driving accuracy matters, he's a good play.
Even better, yeah.
But if you do think it is, probably not a great play. Then you're like, want to play like Chez Reavie.
With the rough shorter and all that stuff, like I said, too, yeah. I think he's going to still be able to find his way around.
A lot of bunkers at this course. That is something I factored in. Although, then I played Morikawa anyway, so
yeah.
What do I know?
Kawa was interesting off last week.
Well, Kawa, I bet him. I'm playing him. I love Morikawa this week. But put it this way, if he finds himself in a whole lot of bunkers, he wasn't winning anyway.
That's right.
Well, he needs to be
take the shot because of the boom bust is that way. And then again, he has to always find the putter. But
yeah,
if he does that, then you get a good upside play at 9,400.
But I liked what I saw from his irons last week, and the fact that he missed a couple of those shorties down the stretch, I think scared the books enough to like give a good number on him. And then it all went away.
He's a guy that I like to bet on more versus when we talked earlier about the Matsuyama situation. Not just because of the WD, but I'm just saying, like I don't see him winning here. I could see it wouldn't surprise me if Morikawa put together something last week as a warm up. Came out this week and found a W and just shocked everybody in the sense that there's so many guys above him that you could think could beat him. But on DraftKings, like I just don't see it when, again, you've got Finau, X, Fitzpatrick, Burns.
Yeah, but if you're playing the long game with this, Morikawa is a better player than all those guys.
Sure. I just don't see it this week. I'm always playing week to week, the slate in front of me. I still have other guys rating out better than him, and I don't care about that.
Ah, so you should, because Morikawa is going to win now.
All right, we'll see.
That's the guy.
I'll take my chances. Back in studio, so maybe not the same. But
that's the guy that you're going to want this week. I mean, hopefully Cam Young. But essentially, my core is the three guys that finished 1, 2, 3 at Riviera.
I'm coming into form right now, Pat.
Neiman, Young, Morikawa. Just those three guys are going to be my core. We'll figure it out from there. need to get a top five to cash in one and done. Should I go Neiman, Young, or Hatton? I'd say Neiman's probably your best bet.
That order. Neiman, Young, Hatton.
What's the reason for being unwary? Did that one. Riskier to fade entire 10K or entire 6K? Probably it's riskier to fade the entire 10K than the 6K.
I think it's way riskier to fade the entire 10K this week because I think, like I said, the winners typically come from up there. I know it's only four guys, so maybe, but then get really heavy with your 9K exposure if that's the case because I think you'll want to get the winner, and I think that's where the winner comes from. So,
what do we do with Spieth? Play him. Thoughts on Connors? I like Connors this week. Do you like Connors?
Yeah, I do. He's, 8,300? Yeah.
Yeah. And he's not super. He's not weirdly popular like he normally is.
Him and Wise always get like a little bit at the end, but if they're 14 or 15 in this type of event with 68 guys and ones that are untouchable or unplayable at the bottom that aren't really getting any ownership, I'm okay with it.
I thought about betting Connors this week. I just don't know if he makes enough putts to win a minus 22.
Yeah. What's his number?
55. Same as Hideki.
I don't like that. I don't like either of them.
At the risk of being banned... Thanks for the terrific work, Tom Brady, and work, Tom Brady and Pee-wee. I guess you're Tom Brady and I'm Pee-wee. Ben for life. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Rory or M or Zalatoris and Fitz? I like Zalatoris and Fitz.
Rory and M.
Thoughts on fading Young for Neiman? Sure. If you want to fade Young, Neiman would be my preference.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Like I said, I like Spieth underneath them, Lowry, Neiman. Those guys are guys you could sub in if you wanted to or play a couple of them together.
Why haven't I talked about Woo! As of yet? I don't know, just not feeling it.
7,000 even? Over another range that's overlooked a little bit?
I could see getting to him, and I would get why, but I don't know. He was like first round leader last week, and I think he finished like 9 strokes worse than his first round.
Yeah. I don't, again, like say, got Keegan there that you can get different with. Keith Mitchell's not as owned. Seamus Power. There's Mito. Mav? We didn't talk about Mav. Do you like Mav this week?
No, not big greens. You want small greens with Mav.
Yeah, it's true. I do think... people will play Mav.
Tigala or Pereira?
Probably Mito for me.
I'm going neither. 12th, second for Sungjae, the last three tourneys.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like he's flying under the radar, Andrew asked. I don't feel like he's at... Sungjae will be... He was the most popular guy last week.
Yeah, I've got him around 17.
$1 million down in one and done. Hovland or the wagon, Tom Kim? I think at this point I would take Tom Kim.
God.
if you just need to take a shot. If people have Hovland and Tom Kim left, people will use Hovland over Tom Kim. I feel like you're getting in one and done.
Yeah. Play who you like. I think both of them are fine plays, and I think that, you know, there's not enough that have Hovland that it's going to be like you needed to get contrarian. So if you think Hovland wins more money, go with Hovland. I like Hovland better for sure.
Who do you like for the Boise Open? Already did that at the beginning of the show. One and done, Cantlay, Finau, or Hovland? If you haven't used Cantlay to this point, you have to be like one of one people left.
Cantlay or Finau, I would pick between those.
But I just think no one would have, like, if you're looking to separate yourself, I think they're all like baseline.
I would go Cantlay, to be honest, if I'm giving the full answer,
I mean, I like Finau objectively better than Cantlay, but I know people have Finau left. I know people really don't have Cantlay left. So if you do, you might as well use them. Rank Griot, Clark, and Munoz. Griot, Munoz, Clark.
Munoz, Clark, Griot.
Thoughts on Hatton?
Eh. Not really, no.
Thoughts on HV3? I'm not. You're in?
I am flop leg 69. But I played him at 7,400. I played him at 9,000. I played him at 9,700 back at the RBC Canadian Open. So I'm definitely not going away at 6,900.
We get in the last newsletter tonight. I mean, the last golf exclusive newsletter, but there's going to be tons of newsletters during football season that also include golf at the same time. It's not like I'm stopping golf content.
Yeah.
I may play Luke List and I hate it. Well, no one gives a fuck what you do, Vincent. You're banned for life, you piece of shit. I'm out of here. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Vincent, you called my first name.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't care what you do. Do whatever you want. How about that? Actually, Andrew asked one more question. We'll get to him. Thoughts on Rom, Morikawa, Sungjae lineup build? I don't mind that at all, actually.
Yeah, I would say it's good because, like, first of all, I like Rom up top, but the setup of it where we talked about Rom and then Finau and then Cam Young, you're basically getting off the second. So you're putting a little bit different spin on it, and I like that.
Tambo, you're live tonight on Rumpier.
I am. Yeah, this afternoon we'll have our live premium show over there, rumpiersports.com. If you guys want to get signed up, you can use promo code NFL15. Gets you 15% off for life. So even includes SaberSim package. So that'll be good. Back here Thursday night on the Mayo Media Network doing the round two showdown show. Back to normal schedule this week. The same channel, same spot. Probably around the same time, different crew will be on for Friday night. And then we've got our Run Pure Sports YouTube channel doing the round four premium show for Saturday night going into Sunday.
So runpiersports.com, NFL15 promo code. Did you say that gave me, they would just give me $15,000 if I subscribe? Is that what you said?
Imagine that. It'd have to come out of my pocket then, and I can't do that right now. So 15% off.
For life. Like NWO, it's for life.
And with the all sports one price NFL coming up, it's obviously going to get crazy. You got a great squad over there, so check that out.
RunTheSims.com/Mayo. Free NFL projections for season long. If you want to go use them right now, just need an email to sign up. But if you want the DFS and betting package, it's all in one. All the tools that are there, you can customize them any way you like. RunTheSims.com/Mayo to get yourself 10% off right now. The Week 1 Listeners League is now live. It's down in the description. Smash like and sub to the channel on the way out. Me, Jeff, and Cust are back tomorrow with NFL award predictions and bets. So tune in then. I'm Pat Mayo. Thank you all for watching. I'll see you next time.
Experience.